From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Texas lawmakers are home from Austin after a long legislative session. Ahead, you'll hear how a North Texas representative would grade this year's work. We begin, though, with high school graduation. Over the next few days, thousands of young Texans will receive their diplomas. Some of those students squeaked by thanks to a new state law. High schoolers no longer have to pass all five end-of-course exams to graduate. As part of our ongoing American Graduate Initiative, Stella Chavez looks at how one school in Fort Worth and its students scrambled to meet the new rules.
Principal Josh Stellage said the rush began at Polytechnic High even before the governor signed Senate Bill 149. They pulled teachers out of the classrooms, they prepped counselors, and built the individual graduation committees required by the law. Stellage says the process made him look at education through a different lens.
Not everybody is exceptionally good at standardized tests, but it doesn't mean that they're not exceptional learners. Just for whatever reason, they may struggle with that aspect of an assessment.
Here's how the new rules work. A student only has to pass three of the five-star tests, then come an elaborate set of hurdles, a special project, completing all classwork, and getting the approval of a personalized committee. Three of every four students who haven't passed all of the STAR tests are eligible for this grueling process. That's almost 17,000 students across the state. Fort Worth and many other districts got this done before graduation. Dallas is waiting till summer. Critics say this is just a way to push kids out the door. Michael Sorum, deputy superintendent in Fort Worth, disagrees.
We did take it very seriously, and we didn't want to just pass kids through. You know, we wanted them to work for it and to demonstrate that they have indeed mastered those skills that they need.
At Poly, 29 students were eligible to do the extra work and take another stab at graduating. Many spent the past couple of weeks working on their projects in a separate classroom. Fernanda Sararaz is one of the 23 students who made it. Like many in this group, English wasn't her first language.
So have you been able to kind of learn some English strategies in terms of the editing, the writing process, the things that sometimes are covered on the test, but are now being embedded into the project?
Principal Dellage walks around the classroom talking to different students.
Do you like this type of style of assessment a little more, or do you like that paper pen?
I like this one because we have more time, and then the test we didn't really have a lot of time, and it was like we had to do the reading part and then the writing part, and it was all stressful, so yeah.
Fernanda, who's 17, came to the U.S. 6 years ago. She failed both English STAR exams and had to write two essays to qualify. One was about her grandfather. Writing it was an emotional experience she embraced.
I didn't grow up with my parents. I grew up with my grandpa because of my sister. She passed away. So when she passed away, I really didn't have my mom to be with me. So in that moment, the only person I had next to me was my grandpa. He raised me like if I was his own daughter. He would always be there next to me, helping me out, telling me, mija, you know, you always got to follow your dream. Don't make no one stop you. You always got to look ahead.
And tomorrow afternoon, she will stride across the stage at Will Rogers Auditorium. The diploma she picks up, she'll hand to her grandfather. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
On Fridays, we talked to the people behind the news headlines, and the Texas legislature made many headlines this session. Lawmakers like Jason Villalba have returned to their districts. He represents much of North and East Dallas in the State House. For this week's Friday conversation, he sat down with KERA's Vice President of News, Rick Holter.
Jason Villalba, welcome to the Friday conversation.
Rick, it's great to be here.
A number of observers described this session as a little bit underwhelming. The Texas Tribune labeled it conservative but complicated. How would you rate it?
I rate this session a solid B+. I think we got some of the issues taken care of that were most important to all Texans. So, number one, transportation. We wanted to make sure that we addressed transportation in a meaningful way, much like we did water in the last session. We were able to do that. The other issue that we tackled was tax relief. Now, tax relief is something that ordinary Texans talk about, at least with respect to their property tax, and we were able to touch on that. And also help businesses to have some tax relief as well, so that we can continue to grow our economy. And having lower taxes does definitely drive that.
You were one of only five House members who refused to sign a letter supporting the state's ban on same-sex marriage. And you took some heat for that from the Tea Party leaders. What do you say to them?
Well, there were two issues, right, with that. One was there was a bill, HB 4105, that said when the Supreme Court speaks on this issue, that the state of Texas will not provide resources to be able to issue licenses for people in Texas who ultimately get married in a same-sex union. And I said to that, well, we're not going to stand athwart of the federal government when the Supreme Court speaks. And the letter was what the backup plan was, right? And so 93 of the 98 Republicans signed this letter saying, okay, we believe this. It was meaningless to me to sign some letter, particularly when it was something that I wasn't generally in favor of.
Do you support same-sex marriage?
I'm not comfortable having an answer to that question today. And it's because I'm a representative. I represent my district. I know I've walked to enough front doors and talked to enough of my constituents to know that I'm not certain that my constituency is there yet. You know, I can say because I didn't sign that letter and I didn't sign that bill that people know generally what my inclinations are and where my compass is pointed. But until the people speak on that issue, I'm not willing to get out in front of it just yet.
You filed a bill during the session that would have restricted people's rights to film police activities. That set off a storm of criticism. You amended the bill and then ultimately pulled it. What did you learn from that?
That was the biggest learning moment, I think, for me as a public servant ever since I've been in this business. What I learned was it's critically important to check with all stakeholders before you begin the process of whittling back anybody's rights, perceived or real. Really think through how it's going to impact people. And if it affects any of the people's rights, you have to be on heightened sensitivity and alert about what impact your legislation will have.
A year ago, you wrote a pretty strong letter criticizing the state Republican Party for what you called divisive rhetoric and nativist domestic policy about immigration. What do you do about the rhetoric?
There's no way to eliminate those voices. Our party is a very broad spectrum of conservatives, but I don't think that those folks are representative of Republicans at large. As a party, there's no question that we have to do better on some of the rhetoric that we use. But I would argue that my friends on the other side of the political aisle, the Democrats, also have some work to do. Both sides are equally guilty of sometimes saying things that they shouldn't say. And it's just something that goes part and parcel with the business of politics.
When you look statewide, this is a deep red state powered by a rising Tea Party movement. How do you find a place in that?
Well, what I've found, I have a grand unified theory on politics, and I'm going to tell you right now, good candidates win. And what that means is as long as I'm taking care of business that the people care about, I'll be fine. I'm not worried about the machinations of the party. I know that if every day I work hard to ensure that my communities and my neighbor have lives maybe a little bit better than they had before because of actions that I've taken, that I'll be elected every time. And if I'm not, then I'm probably not the right person to be down in Austin or anywhere else, really.
Jason Villalba, welcome back from Austin, and thanks for coming in.
It was great to be here, Rick. Thanks so much.
Another sunny day with a high of 92, overnight low 69, and then tomorrow, sunny again with a high of 92 at 76 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at KERA News. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.